There are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL draft this year. My name is Ben Solak, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show with Danny Kelly, Danny Heifetz, and Greg Horlbeck. We cover trades, free agency, and the draft, which is, obviously. We'll tell you about everything, which includes which quarterbacks are good, which quarterbacks are bad, and which quarterbacks are just Kirk Cousins. That is the Ringer NFL Draft Show. Search the Ringer NFL Draft Show on Spotify.
It's the Ringer's Philly Special, presented by FanDuel. April showers bring a loaded sports calendar, and FanDuel is the place to bet on it all. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and get paid instantly when you win. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
It's truly a Philly thing here.
Welcome to the Ringers Philly Special. Sheil Kapadia here with Ben Solak and ace producer Cliff Augustine. We've talked about the first round possibilities, Solak. We've talked about the day two options. We've talked about every angle of this draft we can think of. And now today, we do the highly anticipated exercise of a seven round Eagles only mock draft. You and I just spoke for like over an hour on Extra Point Taken. People can check that out. We both need to get outside. Our minds are on draft overload. Is that right? I almost said overlord. How are you feeling about your seven round Eagles only mock?
It's crazy because like in years past, I jokingly said that I was going to get every pick correct. And that was just like a bit. And then I would only get a couple of right just because you don't want to tip the Eagles' hands on everything. This year though, I really feel like I might as well just get all the picks correct. I mean, like, you know, why not just, you know, go for it. I'm not covering the Eagles professionally anymore. Then I'm getting mad at me in the building. And so, yeah, I think I'll get all of them right this time. This is for fun. And then next year I'll go back to, you know, only getting a couple.
Listen, 2020, your boy got three correct. So
that's a feeling right there.
Jalen Reagor, Kayvon Wallace, and Jack Driscoll. You know, three picks. I don't think that will happen again in my lifetime.
That was they had like 11 picks that year too, right? They
listen,
yeah.
Listen. Yeah. Don't be. We don't need all your little mini details.
I was just recalling.
Three
I was just remembering.
Is three. Three is hard. Okay. All right. So that's what we're gonna. That's all we're doing. That's the whole show today. That's what we're doing. If you're looking for Sixer stuff, we had Chris and Raheem on. I also did some solo thoughts on the Sunday Night Pod. Thanks to everyone for listening to that as well. All right, Solak. You start us off. Now, again, I'm not trying to gas myself up. I did get a little Jalen Carter correct last year with the trade up in this exercise. I was actually listening because I was like, who did I pick last year? And who did you pick last year? You went Deontay Banks on a trade back. We both liked a Deontay Banks. Mm-hmm. I had a Jalen Carter on a trade up. But then your analysis of my Jalen Carter pick was like spot on. You're like, everything I'm hearing now is he's going to get past eight or something, whatever it was, and then this team. And So if he gets to that range, they could trade for him. So, all right, one of us has to nail it every year of this podcast history. So it's going to be me or you. We're a team. What do you got? First round, Eagles set to pick 22nd overall. Do they stay? Do they trade? Do they move up? And who do they pick?
Stay and take DeJean. I think that's the chalk, and I'm going with it. I'm pretty confident the Eagles like DeJean. I'm pretty confident they like him as a corner. I think his range, the 22 is probably the low end of his range. I do think that there's a chance that if they want DeJean, they got to get like 19 or 18 or whatever. And maybe, you know, it not even jokingly, it is how he sees it in the sense of like, manipulating the draft board well, trading up in front of the team that's going to take the guy. Like, Howie's really good at handling round one and getting in front of teams and doing what have you. And so maybe it's not at 22. I think they can potentially, though, stay at 22 and get him. I think that the corners before DeGene, namely Terrion Arnold out of Alabama and Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, are going to have a little bit of a fall on draft day. Now, could that mean the Eagles move up to 15 to go get Arnold because he's cute CB2 and he's falling? Like, maybe. But I think they have a good shot. Not an amazing shot, but a good shot being able to stay at 22 and get DeGene. It makes sense for them as in terms of the body types that they like at corner size-wise. I think that they view him as a corner in terms of his athleticism. He's actually a high caliber athlete in terms of linear explosiveness. It's just the quickness stuff. It's a bit of a question mark. And if it doesn't work out, or if Bradbury's really good, or if Keeley wins the job, or if Isaiah Rodgers is the man, you have the potential to move to safety. And there are reps there to get. And he has a value as a return man. We've seen him do that at a high level in college. It's just like a pick that has a lot of utility, which screams Howie to me. Obviously, they haven't taken a corner since 02. Little Lito Shepherd. Loved Lito Shepherd back in the day. Young Ben did. Lito and Sheldon. Lito and Sheldon Brown. Dude. Loved him. But
probably has to be. No, when I was very young, they had great corners. But in your lifetime, easily the most fun pair of Eagles corners they've ever
had. My lifetime was Dawkins, Lito, Sheldon Brown, right? Like that Eagles secondary.
Michael Lewis.
Was like, yeah. Oh, dude, Michael Lewis, 32. I was going to be a safety. That's what I was. That was my first, you know, foray into the field of professional football. Was I was going to wear 20 and I was going to be the next Brian Dawkins. And then in fifth grade football, I lost out on the number 20 because I couldn't beat Shane Jones in a push-up competition. And at that point, that was where the ship started to turn. And I was like, oh, well, if I can't beat Cliff's, he hates this story. If I can't beat Shane Jones in the push-up competition to even get number 20, there's a chance maybe I'm not going to be able to beat Brian Dawkins in a few years. Anyway,
now was Shane Jones like a big guy? Was this one of the, because sometimes I always tell the story. We had like this thing in gym where like you climb the ropes. Did you guys have ropes in gym class?
We didn't do the ropes. They weren't making kids climb ropes anymore back in my day.
Okay. We had ropes in gym class, right? And it's like, nobody, it was very hard to climb. I couldn't climb the ropes. Okay. I'll just be honest. No upper body strength. I could not climb the ropes. Now, some people, if you had the knots on the ropes, they could kind of really struggle their way up, halfway up, all the way up. And then there was one kid who was just like jacked, and he would, everybody else is struggling. He would literally, the gym teacher would time him and be like, Eric, no legs, and he just all arms and timing him. He's going up, no knots.
That man's going all arms.
I think he was like had like a farm. I don't know. I'm speculating. In my head, he had like a farming background. I don't know. Something was going on. This man was like country strong.
I created
something. I'm like, how can I not get up one knot? And this guy is going up with no legs, up and down. So was Shane Jones?
How you do
like
all arms? How you? Is it just one over the other?
What? No,
just
I think
full
it was
Tarzan?
Yeah, the guy was just a machine. I'm telling you, I remember this so clearly.
That's
in
bananas.
My head. I'm not lying. All right, no. So was Shane Jones guy or no?
Shane was, I don't think he was a wrestler yet in fifth grade, but his pops was the wrestling coach. And he would go on. He would go on to be a wrestler. He and his brother were very good wrestlers. My entire football, I played for the Vikings. All right, in sixth grade football, we were black and yellow. We were the Vikings. And the coaches were Coach Jones and Coach Jacobson. And they were both wrestling coaches, and their kids would go on to become great wrestlers. Jake Jacobson would go to Nationals at Lehigh. All right, great wrestlers. Wow. And all of them wanted me to wrestle because I was a tenacious son of a gun, and I weighed like 2 pounds. And my mom hates wrestling and would not let me do it. And to this day, I resent that. I would have been a good wrestler wrestling at like 105, right? Or wrestling at the smallest weight class. I was a scrappy, wiry son of a gun. But she wouldn't let me wrestle, so I ran cross country instead. Anyway, Cooper DeGene, 22 to the Eagles.
I covered them. Listen, conversation I find much more interesting and a great distraction to the draft talk, if I'm being quite honest.
All right, let's do
it. I covered wrestling at Penn State. You know, every year I apply.
What years would that have been? Was that good year?
It was before they got like unbelievable. Yeah, this was 2001 to 2005. Show my age there for you. Every year for the school paper, I would apply for men's basketball and women's basketball, and I would never get it. And then, like, I'm a junior. They stick me on wrestling. I'm like, oh, my God. Amazing. You should have seen. This gym filled up with all of Pennsylvania. Went to watch these wrestling matches. So intense. Incredible. And I enjoyed it quite a bit. The wrestlers are like the wrestlers are the ones you just don't want to mess with. Like, you want your friends to be wrestlers in case anything's going down, you know, in high school. Like, they're going to take care of it. Or even when people are just messing around, you know, the wrestlers are the ones who are like, no, you're not, like, getting anything on me. So yeah, like a wrestling. All right, yeah. Where were we?
I could have sworn someone from Stroudsburg went to Penn State. I can't remember who it was out of our class. We had good wrestlers. I always wish I would wrestle. I had so much fun. I love watching college wrestling. It's a great, great sport to watch. It's good, yeah. Good era too. Good time for it.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Cooper DeJean.
Cooper DeJean.
I think if the Eagles stay at 22, I think he's the most likely pick, Cooper DeJean. However, in my mock, I mean, you laid out the scenario I'm going with here. So like, I've got the Eagles trading up for the fifth time in 6 years, 22-16 with the Seattle Seahawks. John Schneider loves the trade back. Howie Roseman loves the trade up. These two guys have done roughly 700 deals in their careers together, two longtime GMs. Here's the full trade. The Eagles go up from 22-16. They give up 53, which is their second round pick, but they're getting back 81 in the third round. And then they're giving up.
Right now, they don't have a third, yeah?
Correct. And they're giving up their fourth round pick, 120. So you move up six spots in the first round. You basically move back 28 spots on day two, and you give up 120, your fourth round pick. So, Shiel, who are they trading up for? Who do you think, Sola? Who do I got them going up and getting?
You had him going to 16?
Yeah.
Tyrion Arnold. Quentin Mitchell. Tyrion Arnold. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I've got them taking Tyrion Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama, 6 foot, 189, 21 years old. Led the SEC, 5 interceptions, 17 passes defended last year. Plays outside, plays the slot, sticky in coverage, great ball of production, competitive. Doesn't have like the wild measurables, ran 4.51, but I like this guy quite a bit. I think he's a scheme fit. We've seen them zero in on these SEC prospects, whether it's a trend or not in the first round. Kind of think it is, but I don't know. So they go with a guy they feel like, all right, comes from an SEC program, great college tape. Competitive. We like the makeup. We're going to go up and we're going to go get Tyrion Arnold. So I don't buy, again, we've went over this a million times. I think the cornerback thing is more coincidental than anything else. I think they've liked corners. I think they value corner. I think they know they need corners. And so I've got them taking Arnold in the first round at number 16. How would you feel if they make that trade? Are you coming on here saying, I like it. Good young man. You know, what do you say? He has a, I'm trying to think of some of the juice was worth the squeeze, you know?
Yeah, I like it. It's good ball player. Good ball player. That's what you fundamentally miss. Good ball player. I feel about as good about Tyrion Arnold at a trade up 16 as I do about staying at 22 and taking DeJean, right? And so there's a little bit of like a, all right, like, you know, you went and got it done and like, who knows? Maybe if you'd stayed at 22, Arnold goes and DeJean goes. So you get a little bit more certainty because you make the move up. I do think projecting Howie to move is always a better move than not projecting Howie to move, which is what I did. But I'd feel good about that. I have Arnold graded out as I think he's 12th or 13th on my board. And like, I think you're getting good value. I think it's a weak corner class. Like overall, you're checking boxes. I just do really like DeJean and think that he can be there at 22. So I feel good about that trade up. I feel like you're getting a clear starter at corner. I would feel about as good about that as I would about DeJean at 22.
All right, there you go. So we both got him going defensive back with the first round pick, which will be very funny when they take an offensive lineman in the first round.
Well, breaking news for you,
Shiel. Why did we do that? Uh-oh, what do we got?
Zach Wilson just got traded. Jets to the Broncos for a 7th to 6th round pick swap. Thrilling stuff.
I mean, all I can do is like, who's swapping? Like, shouldn't the Jets have to give up? I mean, why would the Broncos
give up? The Jets
are also
paying some of the salary as well.
All right.
But yeah, so that's exciting. We just recorded Extra Point Take In where we talked a lot about the Broncos trading for a quarterback and it wasn't Zach Wilson.
Well, I don't think this should preclude them from really doing anything. But yeah, if the higher ups want us to include an open where we talk Zach Wilson trade, we can do that after this. You know, we'll just podcast from now until midnight today together and you'll be ready to punch me in the face by hour 4. All right. Those are the first two picks. What do you got? So now we go to round 2. Mm-hmm. And 50th overall, I had like a handful of guys here I was debating between. Ultimately, I identified one. Who do you have at number 50 for the Eagles?
Yeah, so at 50, I had fall to me, and I did a few simulations, and I had fall to me one of the players we talked about on our day 2 target list, and that's Adisa Isaac, the edge out of Penn State. So I took him straight at 50. I do think the Eagles are a good candidate to go edge early. I think that even with the Bryce Huff signing, once you trade Hassan Reddick, you're at a spot where you kind of know what Josh Sweat is. You think you know what you're paying for Huff, but there's always uncertainty with the free agent. And then Nolan Smith, like uncertainty behind it. The Eagles do not want their edge room to be this thin. I think that like we talked about corner in round one. If not corner in round one, I think edge, I would say like edge and offensive line are neck and neck for the most likely positions they address. I do think edge early for them. Isaac is the sort of profile they like in terms of the explosiveness, in terms of the length, in terms of the high side rush. He, like I said, like there are flashes of Adisa Isaac at Penn State that are reminiscent of Josh Sweat at Florida State. I think it was a comp that Dane Brugler first came up with, but when he said it, the light bulb kind of went on for me. I was like, oh yeah, that's a really good call out. So the hands got to get better and the feet got to get a little bit better, but you see it every so often. You're like, all right, if we can, you know, get this guy's head on straight, then this is the potential to be an 8-sack-a-year guy, 9-sack-a-year guy, rotational rusher, a little bit undersized, who's not going to be your primary down player, but that's about what the Eagles usually look for when they add these edge rushers. So Adisa Isaac at 50. We talked about him on the day two target pod if you want to hear more about him. I do think that if he's there middle of the second round, that makes sense as an Eagles selection. Fits their process, fits their mold.
When I went through this exercise, at the end, what I didn't like is that I did not get them an edge rusher I felt good about. So I'm glad that you did in this exercise because, yeah, I mean, you look at that. You mentioned it. I mean, Brandon Graham's gone next year. Josh Sweat very well could be gone next year. Nolan Smith, you don't know what you're getting. And Bryce Hall has been a part-time player. And this is a position that the franchise has valued for decades now. And so it just, yeah, it stands to reason that they would invest some resources here if there's a player they like. So I'm glad that you have that there. I just, the way I was going through it, I didn't get to a spot where I'm like, oh yeah, this guy at this spot, but I think that's a good one by you. I'm also going defensive line. I'm going with, actually, I don't know what you think of this guy. Mike Hall Jr., defensive tackle out of Ohio State. Good little player, right? Is that what you would say?
Bowling ball. Bowling ball and knives. I love that young man. A lot of the day two defensive tackle class, Chris Jenkins, Ruka Koro, Mason Smith, the LSU kid. I'm lower on all these guys than consensus. I struggle to find a guy like Mike Hall. Ohio State, penetration, pass run. Oh, I love him. He's a great little player.
6'3", 299. So that calls him a what? Bowling ball of knives?
Bowling ball knives right there. He's a handful.
Nice. Okay. Turns 21 in June. Young prospect. 6 sacks and 10 tackles for loss in 28 career games, 12 starts. So the production wasn't like crazy. Some of the advanced stuff was good. I think his pass rush win rate was very good. He didn't play a ton of snaps. I think he played 28 snaps per game per Dane Brugler. So the flashes are very much there. It's a young player. It's a premium position. He's a gap shooting defensive tackle, which is my kind of defensive tackle. And so a little bit of a projection, but he's a player at 50. I think you look at it and say, all right, we have invested in this spot before, but this is a totally different player than a Jordan Davis, where you say, all right, third down, if this guy develops and you get him and Jalen Carter on the field together and third down, that could be pretty exciting. And so Fletcher Cox retired. Milton Williams is going into the final year of his deal. You don't know if he's going to be coming back. And so you invest in defensive tackle, which is something they've done quite a bit. So, all right, very interesting here. We both go defensive back first pick. We both go defensive line-ish second pick. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll get to the rest.
The road to the NBA Finals starts now, and new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You can bet on three-pointers made, over-under point totals, first basket score, and more. Two bets that I like today upcoming. I do think the Magic bounce back against the Cavs down one game. I like them +5.5. They just shot terribly. I like Jalen Suggs over 11.5 points as well, as I think they get right against Cleveland. And now FanDuel is live in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Just go to FanDuel.com/ringerphilly to get started. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 plus, 18 plus in D.C. and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. First online real money wager. Only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com.
All right, we are back on the Ringers Philly special. Now, you still have the 53rd pick. Mm-hmm. I will be making the 81st pick, which they got in that Terrion Arnold trade. So who do you have at 53 for the Eagles?
So Michael Hall, by the way, was on my shortlist for day two targets. I think I ended up not talking about it.
All right, the official day two. Can we make him the official day two prospect of the Ringers Philly special?
I can do that. I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, why not?
He reminds me a lot of Milton Williams at Louisiana Tech in terms of what people liked about him. They didn't play the roles the same way because Milton was a lot of 4i and Hall lined up a lot of 3-tech. But in general, like they like Milton, they like Hall. My 53rd pick is Junior Colson, the linebacker out of Michigan.
I erased Colson for Mike Hall Solak. He was also on my short list. We're on the same page. We are in lockstep,
which is very worrisome.
Yeah.
Junior Colson is the backer that I would like to invest in this class. He's the guy that I'm most interested in, that I believe in. Colson's got the, and we talked about Colson a little bit on the Day 2 Target pod as well. Colson's got the sort of height and length that you want. He's above average tall. He's above average wingspan wise. He fills passing lanes a lot better than like under Kobe Dean does, right? You kind of asked me to compare those two players. It's the size that allows you to be more impactful in pass defense when you're playing those short zones at the linebacker position. Now, Colson, he's got some size to him. I think he needs to learn how to use it a little bit better. You have to answer the question once he's in your building of, do we want this guy to mass up and play bigger between the tackles, or do we want this guy to mass down a little bit and just be like really like just kind of like a run and chase guy and like a passing lane sort of a guy? Kind of in what mold is he going to be successful in the league? So there's some experimentation there. There's some uncertainty there. I think he's one of the smarter of the top linebackers. He's definitely one of the most athletic of the top linebackers. He's the developmental guy that I like. The Eagles don't really have time for linebacker development. They need backer now. And so he's kind of going to develop on the fly, and he's going to go out there and he's going to play. But I do think that he'd be the highest ceiling backer that they have for sure. And you have your Devin White. Okay. Like you probably are just rolling the dice, like a super risky, you know, low outcome there. N'Kobe Dean, like you like N'Kobe's film and stuff, but the injuries have piled up. He hasn't had time to come along. Like you need to have a young guy that you believe can kind of take the reins a little bit, can become what TJ Edwards became for you. And Colson's the dude I would bet on in this class. Don't love this class, but Colson's my linebacker one. I'm happy to get him in round two.
Yeah, even though you say developmental, like he has played a lot. I mean, he played, 36 starts at Michigan. He profiles as like the green dot guy, right? The smart guy, gets everyone lined up, calls the defense. That's how you would see him, ideally, if things pan out.
He's body type-wise, he's meant to be a Mike. He's meant to be a three-down player, right? He's of the Fred Warner size and the Fred Warner mold. Now you brought up the experience. The experience is good. And again, like he's smart. He sees it. I don't know if... So I found him to be passive, and I found him to be a little bit light into contact. Now, some of that can be structural. Some of that can be like, hey, we are asking you defense, like we just want you to play a little slow. Like, you know, we feel like we're going to win with our front, and you can read it out, and you play multiple gaps. Like, there's a chance that he can trigger and go a lot better than he did at Michigan. You got to kind of ask him the question. You're not sure about it from the outside.
Okay. Junior Colson, and I literally had him written on this doc, and then I said, you know what? I'm going to erase him and go with Mike Hall. So he was on my list there. All right, so I've got the 81st overall pick here, and I'm going with the guy we mentioned on our day two options. Bullock was a little lukewarm, said fine, but not, you know, I'm not going to be coming on here throwing a parade for one Roger Rosengarten, by the way, we had loyal listener Roger say, come on, give a little love.
We did get a couple messages from a couple Rogers, and rightfully so.
Listen, I love a Roger name. I'm saying we need more Rogers. I wasn't saying ripping the name. Roger is a great name. I said
that was not how it read. That was not how it read at all.
All right. In that case, then, I apologize. Everyone, wear your jerseys over your dress shirts. Roger is a great name. What else? PPA, you're great. I'm getting to a lot of stuff here. All right. Roger Rosengarten, this is at 81. This is the pick they get from the Seahawks in that first round pick swap. 6'5", 308. Offensive tackle, 22 years old, started 28 games at right tackle, played left tackle in high school and practiced there for two seasons at Washington, ran the fastest 40 at the combine, athletic dude, 90th percentile, broad jump, has good tools here, durable, started every game the past two seasons. So I just thought there's a lot to like there, the type of guy I could see Jeff Stoutland saying he's got the tools, he's got some experience, bring him in here, he can be very useful to us. Either right away or down the road when someone gets injured. So there you go. Roger Rosengarten at 81 is my next pick.
Yeah. 81. I like a Rosengarten. I'm fine with a Rosengarten. You've seen people say maybe the bad end of the first round, too much for me. I think if he's like a top 50 pick, I'll be like, dude, there's other tackles that I'd rather invest in. There's other guards that I think will play the position. Rosengarten round three makes a lot more sense to me as like, you know, your Driscoll was what? Early four. He was like 120 or something like that.
I think that's right.
Yeah. So 81, like obviously 40 picks earlier, but Rosengarten was a better tackle at Washington than Driscoll was at Auburn. That to me makes sense. That sort of a pick.
All right. Very good. All right. What do you got? What now? I tell you what, now we're getting to the absurd picks for me at least. But what is your next? Are you going to the fifth round, right? Or do you have a trade up or where are you here?
I moved up. I was watching the ticker click off with the names and I was sitting there at 120 and I had so many safeties falling that I made a small move up. And so I sent pick 120 and pick 161 to go get 106. And I moved up 15 spots. And I did so for Javon Bullard, who's the safety out of Georgia. I wanted to get Dadrian Taylor-Demerson. I was a little bit too light on my...
I left him there for you. I thought we're definitely getting him out of your seven-round mock. You couldn't get there? Yeah.
Well, so the other thing was that I had already drafted multiple guys we talked about on the round two, round three pod, and I didn't want to just keep drafting the guys. You're not giving the people the content, okay. Jill. The content that they need. They want to hear about more dudes. So Javon Bullard out of Georgia is interesting. I'm not... I like him. I like him as a late round two, early round three guy. Here we have the Eagles taking him at the end of round three, like beating a round four. I think this is, you're getting a good discount on the guy. I like it. I'm not sure how much they'll like him because I think Bullard's kind of like a jack of all trades, master of none sort of a player. He's not, I don't think, particularly explosive, elite size. I don't think of the Georgia guys typically like throw their body around like sideline to sideline range. I don't find him to be that compelling of like a high influence player. I think he's a good tackler. I think that he's physical. I think that he can fill a lot of roles for you. And so if you're just saying, hey, like, let's get Bullard in the building. He has a lot of experience. Like, we know that we can just stick this guy out and he can play next to Reed. They both have some versatility to them. He's a high floor guy. He'll play some special teams. Like, it's not like an insanely sexy, high caliber developmental round four pick. I don't think there's like a high caliber starter ceiling for Bullard. I do think he's a solid player who can play like strong safety, free safety. He can be in the nickel, play with tight ends a little bit, play on teams for you. I think he fills out their safety room, which is just so thin right now. Just so skint on guys. So, okay. He goes in. He's probably third safety behind Sydney and Reed. Sydney gets hurt. Sydney's throwing his body around like a knucklehead. Bullard can step in and play four games for you and give you a decent floor performance. So I gave him Javon Bullard. Taylor Demerson was in that range, that round of four. Jaden Hicks, the Washington State kid, who I a lot of people are big fans of him. I'm a little iffy on him, but I know he's got his fans in the media in the league. He was there. The safety class, I think, comes nicely for them round three, round four. That's where I want to target some of these guys.
Yeah, you got me excited about Taylor Demerson in the last
good ball player, man.
That we did. Bullard, 5'11", 198, ran a 4.47, started 22 games at Georgia. All right. I go to the fifth round, so like another guy that who's definitely like has been a little buzzy around our football circles, but I don't know if you like him or not. I don't even know if I like him, to be quite honest, but I thought, you know what, this would be fun for discussion. Fifth round, 161 overall, Johnny Wilson, wide receiver, Florida State. So like, giving me
sure.
I don't know.
Like, well, fifth round, like absolutely, draft the giant dude. Okay. Like, I think people love to be like, man. And I see, he's not a tight end. He's a wide receiver. It's like, okay, he's a wide receiver. Guess how you're going to use him, though? Like, he's a freaking tight end. Like, you're going to throw him jump balls and stuff. Like, it's not like he's like a complete player, right? He's a very specialized dude.
This is a Howie Roseman tools in his body type pick. 6'6", 231, ran 4.52, 37-inch vertical. These arms, 35 3/8-inch arms. I think I heard someone, I can't remember where I saw it or read it, longest ever arms for a wide receiver at the combine. Not a stiff in terms of change of direction. You know, had the fourth fastest short shuttle at the combine. Began his career at Arizona State.
The short shuttle number is fraudulent because of the arms. He can reach the lines faster.
Is that what it is?
Okay. Length helps you in the short shuttle because the
true.
For those who don't know,
you don't have to get as close to the blocks.
Yeah. For those who don't know what the short shuttle is, you're starting on the 25-yard line. You're facing the sideline, right? So you're not facing the end zone. You're facing the sideline. You move 5 yards in one direction. You tap the 20-yard line. You sprint 10 yards in the other direction. You tap the 30-yard line. And then you run back through the 25-yard line. So it's the 5-10-5, right? 5 yards to your right, 10 yards to your left, 5 yards again to your right. To measure lateral change of direction. But the tapping of the line, like, that's non-negotiable in the drill. And if you have 35-inch arms, you don't got to get as low as the other dude. So you can get in and out of the break more easily.
I'm having like a mental picture of how could they fix this? Like, you have to have your arms behind your back when you run. Like, no, you have to tap it with your, I don't know. I don't know what the fix is, but all right. So Solak says the short shuttle is.
He's juking the stats.
Yeah. Johnny Wilson began his career at Arizona State, transferred to Florida State, 41 catches for 617 yards last year. Not that great. Had 897 yards in 2022. averaged 17.2 yards per reception for his career. So again, this is just taking a flyer on a big man with some traits and seeing how you want to use him. Like you said, Solek, some teams are looking at him as a tight end. And really, let's be honest, it's been too long since we had the Ifeanyi Moma buzz. Remember the training?
Remember the Hakeem Butler target?
Yeah, that's what I have. Moma, I wrote down the new Moma and Hakeem Butler. You need
the
someone
one
to
Hakeem
fill
Butler
that role.
Goal line fade for no reason. What are we doing?
That will, you know, that is one of the wildest plays.
That was 21, right? That was last year of Doug?
The 20 or 21. I think it was probably 21.
I feel like it was like the bell that rang for Doug. I feel like it was 21.
No, 20 was the last year of Doug.
Oh,
yeah,
so
2020. Yeah.
What year is it? 24?
Yeah. 2021. Holy
smokes,
three were
it was.
Sirianni. Yeah. Goodness. Well, I think it was definitely the 2020 year, I think.
Yeah. Hakeem Butler, right now, by the way. Yeah, it was 2020. Right now, by the way, just punking folks for the St. Louis Battlehawks. Cooking.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him. All right. There you go. All right. So Johnny Wilson, you're fine with. It's the fifth round. Who cares? Take a big guy. Maybe he'll do something. If he doesn't, no one will remember anyway. Is that where we're at with Johnny Wilson?
Yeah. Okay. In terms of wide receiver threes to acquire, they got to be able to do a thing. And Johnny Wilson can very clearly do a thing, as described by his enormity. So I will like it. The problem is I will not like it because people will get way too excited about it than they should.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
that's what will drive me
nuts. And
then
you got to be the cold water guy. Yeah, there you go. All right, what do you got? What's next?
So I have the Eagles staying at 171 and 172 respectively. They're holding those two picks and they're making
me
those
too.
Two picks. Yep. Those are the next guys on the board for me. The two players that I selected were Javon Foster, who's an offensive tackle out of Missouri, and Dallin Hooker, who's a tight end out of Colorado State. So to go start with Javon Foster. Foster's my guy for round three offensive tackles. He was a Senior Bowl player, big dude, long dude, tons of starting experience. He played in 50 games, started over 40 for Missouri. He isn't a light on his feet. Oh, high tier athleticism. When the Eagles go for day three tackles, they tend to go for your Prince Tego Winogo, Jordan Mailata types. Where it's just like, who's the craziest mover you ever saw? That isn't Foster, but Foster is clearly an NFL caliber athlete, right? I think he clears the bar in terms of quickness and in terms of explosiveness. And then when he gets his hands on you, it's ball game pretty quick. He'll lose a rep early because he's not super flexible and he doesn't set in his pass set super great. And like he's got those limits, but he is a clench and destroy sort of a player, right? Where like once he's got you, it's pretty much ending right there. And so in terms of pass protection ability, right? Guys, you got to throw a guy out there as the backup tackle, as a third tackle. You know, Jordan Mailata goes down. You got to throw him out there in the second quarter cold. Foster's a pretty good candidate in terms of like DeJuan Jones theorem, where the Browns took him in the fourth round. It's like, yeah, he can't move, but he's just really hard to get around because he's enormous. Foster's not that big, but he's plenty big. And he's got really nice length, good grip strength. He's got good timing up the arc. He's a competitor in pass protection. I like what he gives you as a guy who can step in and survive on the outside with his size and with functional movement. So I took Foster at 171. And then Dallin
41
Hooker.
Starts for Foster, 39 at left tackle, 2 at right tackle, 6'6", 313, like you mentioned, long, long arms, 34 and 5/8 inches. The testing numbers, the movement numbers, as you alluded to, are not going to wow you. But a lot of experience, has played both sides. And like you mentioned, big dude. All right, good one. All right, who's the other guy?
Yeah, so that was Dallin Hooker, the tight end out of Colorado State. I will say for Foster, the one thing that the Eagles tend to really care about are their jumps, and that's where Foster was good. He was 90th percentile vertical jump, 65th percentile broad jump. He's not particularly quick, but he does have explosiveness to him, so nice. Hooker, who's the Colorado State tight end, I wanted to come out of this draft with some dice roll on tight end, and I could see them going either direction. I could see them going the Jack Stoll approach and being like, you know, go find us a corn-fed 255-pounder who will just block for us, 12 personnel, 6 offensive linemen type. And I can see them going the Grant Calcaterra direction. Who's our 240-pounder, movement type, right? H-back, versatile, get him the ball, you know, screen guy, whatever. The way the board fell to me, I was very close to getting Jaheim Bell, who's my guy out of Florida State at tight end. He's my 240-pound run around and be a nutcase dude. He doesn't fall to me, so I take Hooker. He's also, like, he played sub-240. He measured it at the combine. Over 240 pounds. If he's carrying 240 pounds for the Rams, then I'm 6'3". Like, what are we talking about? Anyway, so I don't think he's actually that heavy. I think he's really, really light for a tight end. Man, he's quick as a wink. He will run away from guys in the open field. He will take a shallow. He will take a slant, and he will beat an angle and turn around the corner on somebody. He will get to the second, third level and start looking to break tackles. he actually is good into contact, but he's got some balance to him for a lateral guy. I think he knows how to get glancing blows and survive them from safeties or from tight ends or from linebackers, excuse me. So he's a tight end three through and through, right? He's going to play some teams for you. He's got speed. He can go downfield, throw his body around a little bit. He's not afraid of contact. You're going to have 13 personnel sets where he's running those underneath routes. He's running screens. He's running design stuff in the red zone. He's running third down stuff for you because you just like him with the ball in his hands. Eagles right now have Albert Okwuegbunam and CJ Uzomah. I think that they want to introduce a tight end to that room to try to potentially win one of those jobs, either like the movement guy job or the blocking guy job. So they could go for a variety of tight ends. Holker's just a guy that I've seen that I've liked, and he was on the board. So I love Jaheim Bell for them. But if not him, Holker's a good consolation prize.
I like it. Like you mentioned the elusiveness. This is from Dane Brugler. Forced 15 missed tackles last year, which was third among tight ends. Also had 11 catches of 20 plus yards, which was third among FBS tight ends. 6'3", 241. Ran a 4.78. Very productive season last year. 64 catches for 767 yards. Where you look at a lot of these tight ends numbers, and that's like this big time production from a tight end.
Yeah, and he's pro ready. He was at BYU at first, and I think he had a mission. Played at BYU, wasn't getting time, transferred, and that was really good for Colorado State. So he's over 24. He's body type wise, build wise, skill wise, he's ready to go.
There you go. All right, I like those. Good. Picks from Solak. All right, my fifth round picks. First one, Miles Harden, cornerback, South Dakota. Are you familiar with this man?
Oh, the South Dakota kid. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't remember his name. I know the South Dakota kid. Yeah, yeah.
Eagles had him in for a visit. 5'11", 195. Listen, I wasn't that excited about this, but it's the fifth round, 171. What do you want from me? Probably a nickel, competitive, physical, forced 11 turnovers. In his last 29 games, 6 interceptions, 5 forced fumbles, had some injury issues. I don't have a lot more to say about him. You're just like, all right, interesting, feisty, mm-hmm. competitive, defensive back. It's the fifth round. You need to add to that room. You need to get players in there. You're taking some dart throws. I thought maybe he could be a useful player in your secondary. Miles Hart. There you go.
Yes.
Anything else to add on this man?
No, I will say that you said that you felt bad you didn't get an edge. My thing that I was frustrated that I didn't get was that nickel corner, right? As I got Cooper DeJean and then Taylor Demerson, like, okay, I think maybe he can play over the slot for you. That's not really Bullard's cup of tea. And if you go and look at who the Eagles have brought in, they brought in Harden, they brought in Jerrion Jones, they brought in Andrew Phillips, right? They've just brought in so many guys. The Wake Forest kid, they brought in so many corners who have inside-out versatility. I think it's very clear that they want to make an Avante Maddox pick again, where Maddox was a fourth round player. He was an outside corner at picks. That was their scheme and their structure, but he was probably going to be a slot in the league. They want to make that selection again, right? Middle round guy, Zach McPherson type, right? Okay, maybe outside, maybe inside, figure that out. I didn't end up getting that guy off my board, but I do think, like, even if the Eagles end up taking DeJean or Terry all round one, it still would not surprise me to see them go corner again in the middle rounds, because I think they're hunting for a nickel. And of that group, man, love Max Melton, talked about Max Melton, Andrew Phillips. Good little ball player. The Kentucky kid, he's fun to watch.
Yeah, I had Melton as one of my finalists for the, I think, 50th overall. Is that the range you think he's going to go around there?
That's why I'd be willing to take him there. I would wager he goes a little bit later than that.
Okay, yeah, he was one of my finalists there. But I was like, wait, I just took Terry and Arnold in the first round. I'm not going to take him. All right, next up, I don't know that this one's for Cliff. Okay, fifth round, 102nd. 172nd overall.
Right, which Temple kid?
Fight for the cherry and the white. For the cherry and the white. We fight. Jordan McGee.
Yeah, McGee.
The linebacker from the Temple Owls. I had to get them a linebacker. Like, I got to get them a linebacker somewhere. I know it's not a good linebacker class. I know it's not exciting. They need bodies. They need somebody. I decided not to give them Junior Colson early on. And I said, you know what? I'm going to throw Cliff a bone. Cliff's been working hard. Cliff's been producing all these shows. He's got all the Temple University pride. Let's go get them a Temple Owl. So 6'1", 228, undersized, very good athletic testing, ran 4.55, was a 3-year starter, 2-time captain, played special teams, 32 starts. And so there you go. You take a flyer on the kid from Dover, Delaware. When you're driving down, maybe you don't go to the Jersey beaches. Maybe you go to the Delaware beaches. Maybe you go to Ocean City, Maryland. What do you pass? You pass Dover, Delaware, and you say, hey, you can tell your family, your friends, that's where Jordan McGee's from, the next great linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, there you go. I'm loopy. I've lost it. I don't have many more words in me, honestly, until after picks are actually made. I don't know what words are coming out of my mouth at this point.
I love the idea of the Eagles just whenever Temple has a semi-functional linebacker being like, yeah, if he's going to be good somewhere, let him be good over here. Who cares? Let's get Sean Bradley in the building, get McGee in the building.
There you go.
McGee, man. How would you feel?
The Eagles need to fill their Temple quota. They just lost Reddick. We still got Sean Bradley coming off injury right now. Coming off the ACL is going to be, hopefully, still going to be on the roster, be a good special teams player. But yeah, Jordan McGee, man, one of the lone bright spots of Temple football. We know Temple's been kind of down bad the past couple of years, so we'll love to see him just, you know, take his talents from Temple further down Broad Street, just over to the Link, where he played his home games at anyway. And you know what I mean? Just do some things for our Eagles, man.
I watched like two games of McGee when I was speed running the linebacker class. Quick player, shoot a gap, like it. If you made me guess who is heavier when they play football, him or AJ Brown, I think I would take AJ. I think McGee played at like 221, dude. He is so small.
Come on, Cliff. Dude, what's going on with that Temple nutrition program?
Cliff got to get to the Temple weight room. Teach these boys a thing or two, man.
Cliff,
look,
they need you in there, Cliff.
Look, man, we need some booster help. We need some NIL money going in here. We need but the facilities are like nice as hell though at Temple. So
yeah,
I don't know what's going on over there. The food is good over there. You should be eating good. There's no excuse for like Ben said. There's no excuse for him to be undersized. But I feel like you've made this point anyway, Ben, this whole entire draft. You said dudes pretty much have been undersized at the linebacker position in the first place. So
we're losing recipes, man. I would do anything for a 245 backer who can play. I'm so done with this. I miss the football of my father's era. All right. Back in my day, linebackers could hit guards and survive. Disgusting.
Right. Like right now, a lot of linebackers are like 230, barely scratching the surface at 240. I mean, you're not going to see that throughout this draft. Like you said, there is even a top 10 line, like off-ball linebacker. You've been like, oh shoot, like off looking at the film, he's gonna be a problem. This draft just isn't that.
This linebacker class made me like Devin White. That's how small it is. Devin White's 240. Whoa, here we go.
Think about what you just said. This draft makes you like Devin White.
Yeah.
That's scary.
I want big backers, Cliff, man.
Cliff, let's go ahead and get your who is the guy you want for the Eagles? Sorry, am I catching you off guard? You want to do this? I'll buy some time for you. All right.
No.
Cliff, you're good.
No. Right, you're totally good. I just had to adjust my headphone. You good?
I asked Cliff to give us the player he wants the Eagles to take in the first round and the player he thinks the Eagles are going to take in the first round. Last year, he was all about Jalen Carter. I remember he liked the Georgia. He liked the Georgia Bulldogs, right?
I did. So I like Jalen Carter, but I said Bijan because I didn't think there's no chance in hell that Jalen wasn't going to. Remember, I didn't think.
See,
he was
that's accountability right there. You could have just let it go and taking credit, but that's why you raised producer Cliff Augustine. The truth matters to this program.
I thought Jalen Carter was the best player in the draft last year. I just thought there's no chance in hell the Eagles going to get him. That's why I said Bijan at 10 because I was like, all right, lo and behold, Bijan goes before Jalen Carter in the first place, which is crazy. But anyways, I think this year, Benny Souls has laid it out for me. I've talked to a few of my draft people over at ESPN, my good brother Field Yates, trying to, you know, gauge, see what the Eagles are doing. I've been listening to the Ringer NFL, as everybody that listens to this podcast should be listening to. And I think this is who I want the Eagles to get at 22. Ooh. The Eagles were to stay at 22, I think they should get Kool-Aid McKinstry. I'm a big fan of Kool-Aid.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's projected to go like 25, 26, 27, a little bit after the Eagles at 22. Cooper DeJean is who I think they would draft in that position. But I saw the film on Kool-Aid and I was like, especially, and you know the number one thing you got to do when you look at quarterback film when they go to Alabama, you got to look at the film when they played LSU. You got to look at them versus Brian Thomas Jr., versus Malik Nabers, dudes like that. Yo, he's so good. He could turn his hips. He's kind of fast. Ran a 4.4, 6.1. He's very much like a good press corner, but all they do is play man in the NFL play zone in the NFL anyway. So all he's going to do is just look back at the quarterback the whole entire time. And he can make plays off just looking at the ball and reacting that way. I'm a big fan of Kool-Aid. I like his size. I like his tenacity at cornerback. I need dogs. I need you to be a dog at cornerback, especially right now with the Eagles in their cornerback position. We got to have James Bradbury with the June 1st designation right now. You don't know what Darius Slay is going to show up this season. It might be the 30. Michelle, what do you be saying?
He's 33 years old. I mean,
33
does not work out well for corners in the NFL. Maybe he'll be the exception, but yeah, no, it's
33,
the trend is not good.
It's not good. We got a young Kelee Ringo, who I like. I think he has a lot of great potential. We don't know if Avante Maddox is going to be healthy. Like, I think you have to pull the trigger on cornerback in the first round. Like you said, I like how you went Terrion Arnold, then moving up to 16 to get Terrion. I like Ben saying they should stay at 22 and just keep Cooper DeJean. I like him as a prospect as well. I think Cooper's great. I just see a dog in Kool-Aid, and I like him, and I think he will fit right in with the Eagles and what Vic Fangio does. If they just do zone heavy stuff, drop back, look at the quarterback, make a play on the ball. He is so good at reacting on the ball. I like Kool-Aid all the way.
Okay.
Kool-Aid is top one vibes pick without question. It's cool. His name is Kool-Aid McKinstry. He's a good time. Kool-Aid is one of the hardest people for me to project right now, Cliff, because he had a Jones fracture that they found at the combine, right? And then and then he went and ran a 4.47 like on the Jones fracture. But the thing about Jones fractures,
which
is
crazy, by the way.
Yeah, the thing about Jones fractures is that for NFL teams, they like Jones fractures notoriously continue to pop up, right? Like that's the sort of thing that can belie future predict future injuries. And so I think that brings some uncertainty into where he goes. But like if he went before Cooper DeJean and like before the Eagles pick at 22, I honestly wouldn't be shocked. But also, if he fell out of round one, I also wouldn't be shocked. He's a wide range guy either. Right now. Yeah. Kudos to all of us, though. Not a single Nate Wiggins mentioned. We've named three corners. Nobody's taking the 170-pounder. That's football's big man's game. That is correct.
Kool-Aid, when I did my mock, I felt great about my Kool-Aid match. 30th to the Baltimore Ravens. Can you just see that?
No. Kool-Aid McKinstry. He does fit in right at DB with the Ravens.
I actually I think if the Eagles trade back, I like Kool-Aid as a target. Actually, I don't
and
think.
And like 27 or something like that?
Yeah. If they trade back there, the Chiefs, 27, that could make sense. Chiefs move up for a tackle or maybe a wide receiver or whatever, and you move back to 30. I could see that. All right, so that's who you want them to take. Now, who do you think they're actually?
I think they will take Cooper. I think they will take Cooper DeJean at 22 if they stay at 22 and he's available. But I say this, it's like a lot of people just saying like, all right, well, is he going to stay at cornerback or convert to safety? Dog, what's the point of, are we drafting him as a safety or a cornerback? What's the point? Like, do you want a cornerback who's going to stay, who can play press man, who can stay with all these fast-ass receivers that come to the league nowadays anyway? Like, or do you want somebody who's just going to play safety? To me, if you're going to change his position early on in his career, what's the point of drafting him at corner just for him to play safety? Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah, I think that's why I'm a little probably lower on DeJean than most, is because I have questions about whether he can be that guy at corner who can just line up and mirror and be sticky in coverage. He might be able to. I'm not sure that he can, but then it goes kind of what you said, Cliff. They play so much zone anyway that
it doesn't matter.
He might be fine. You know, it's not like you're, at some point you're going to have to match up for sure. But I think it raises the floor a little bit if you're saying, well, all right, if it doesn't work out there, there's kind of that safety net that, well, he could line up in these other places and still be a really good player. So I think that's the case. But I hear what you're saying.
My thing is, like, I saw the film versus him and Marvin Harrison Jr. By the way, this isn't even fair to even say that, because I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is like one of those ones that's going to be a receiver, going to be great. We'll have all the accolades that everybody asks for. Everybody says the AJ Green is a great comparison. If he becomes AJ Green, then man, that's a hell of a career. He was getting cooked by Marvin Harrison Jr. It's just Kyle McCord. Look, sorry, Kyle McCord and your family, whoever's listening to this, that might be a fan. I know you from the area, but Kyle McCord could not throw Marvin Harrison Jr. the football the day that they lined up together. Like he would have had three touchdowns on Cooper DeJean if he could just throw the damn football in the right area where it needed to be. Marvin Harrison Jr. was beating him bad. But again, you're not going to face a Marvin Harrison Jr. every time you line up every weekend. You're going to face a bunch of them, but not each week. You know what I'm saying?
Right. There you go. Cliff's got Kool-Aid McKinstry as the guy he wants, Cooper DeJean as the guy he thinks they're going to get. All right. Dolak, what do we got? One more pick left?
Yeah. I have 210 left, which I like how we went to the first round and then we're coming back to my seventh round guy. I did pull a visit for them off this one, which is Anaya Smith.
Me too.
The wide receiver slash running back. Who'd you get?
I wish we had the same guy. I went with Travis Glover, the offensive lineman from Georgia State.
Yeah. Anaya Smith, it reads to me as the exact sort of guy you like in the seventh round. Never found an exact role at Texas A&M as they dealt with coaching staff changes and quarterback changes. They were playing him a running back. They were playing him in the slot. Just a really good weapon. He's excellent with the ball in his hands. He's got separation ability. He's a really, really good returner. This is a contend with Britton Covey. Contend at the bottom of the roster for field stretcher guy, is a design touch guy. You don't know if he's going to make the 53 or not, but you know that if he's on the 53, you can find a role for him on game day. You can give him a cap, give him a helmet, because he's going to be able to be a return man for you. He's going to be able to be a slot receiver for you. He can be a design touch player. You can use him in the option game with Jalen Hurts if you want to get a little bit creative with some of your back stuff. He's just really nice in space. He's just a quick as a wink guy. So they brought him in for a visit. I'm very interested to see where he lands in the league. I think he could have a much better future in the league than he did at A&M, because they just never figured out how to use him right. And they didn't have enough players, kind of a good enough quarterback play, good enough wide receiver play to kind of pull the attention off of him when he was out there playing in the slot. And so Anaya Smith is the exact sort of guy you like on a day three. He has translatable traits to the league, and you feel like he was misused in college.
All right, there you go. So Lex got wide receiver. I've got Travis Glover, offensive lineman, Georgia State. 6'6", 317, 57 career start. As Solak would say, young man's played a lot of football. All right, there you go. 35 starts at left tackle, 18 at right tackle, 4 at left guard. Only missed one game in college. I was not grinding the Georgia State film. They had him in for a visit. He's played a lot of positions. He's a big man. It's a big man's game, as Solak would say. It's the sixth round. Mm-hmm. It's 210 overall. Maybe they'll just... Jeff Stoutland, which offensive lineman do you want us to take? Okay, we will take him. That's all the process needs to be. All right, so there you go. So that hit me with your entire 7-round mock. What do you got?
Yes, sir. I got Cooper DeJean going in round 1, Adisa Isaac and Junior Colson in round 2. I have the Eagles trading up to 106 to make sure that they can secure Javon Bullard, the safety out of Georgia. It costs them 161 as well to get that done. But at 171, they take Javon Foster. At 172, they take Dallin Holker. And then at 210, Anaya Smith. That's my 7-round mock for the Eagles.
There you go. I've got them trading up from 22 to 16, taking Alabama cornerback Terrion Arnold. They lose one of their 2nd-round picks where they move back. They don't lose it completely. So at 50, they take Mike Call Jr., defensive tackle, Ohio State. 3rd round, that's the pick they got for 53. They take Roger Rosengarten, offensive tackle, Washington. 5th round, Johnny Wilson, wide receiver, Florida State. Already a fan favorite. He's not even an Eagle, and he's already a fan favorite. Next 5th round pick, Miles Harden, cornerback, South Dakota. Next 5th round pick, fight for the cherry, and Jordan McGee, linebacker, Temple University. And 6th round, Travis Glover, offensive lineman, from Georgia State. I'm setting the over-under, Solak, at 1.5 picks that we get correct between us. What do you got? How are you feeling? We picked all different players, so we got a lot of swings. We didn't duplicate, so that's good. Can we get 2 between us? What do you think?
I feel like probably not, but sure, over.
Solak, how dare you? I'm taking the over with confidence that we will nail it, and we will get, and listen, if we get the players right, that counts. I don't care what round it is. That doesn't, if we get 2 of these players right that we name, the over counts. All right. I got to take a deep breath. We just did a lot of talking. Listen to our long Extra Point Taken show. We did bold predictions on that. We just did a Philly special. You probably have a Philly special on your feed that you might not have listened to yet. Go ahead and listen to that. Catch up. Solak and I will be back Thursday night after the 1st round, talking about who the Philadelphia Eagles selected. And if there's stuff before then, we might pop on with another Philly special before then. But certainly Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, you will get us talking Eagles and NFL draft. All right. Thank you to Ace producer Cliff Augustine. Thank you to Ben Solak. Appreciate everyone listening. We'll talk to you soon on the Ringers Philly special. Must be 21 plus, 18 plus in DC, and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. In Colorado, DC, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.